22 this morning. Luke chapter 22 this morning. Pick up where we left off last week. Continue through this story of the betrayal, the pre-betrayal, the betrayal of Jesus, all the way up until his crucifixion and then his resurrection. Lord willing, we'll end with the resurrection on Easter morning. Amen. How many are thankful we don't serve a dead Savior? Say amen. I'm thankful that, you know, yes, Jesus died. Yes, he was buried. But I'm thankful that Jesus, unlike any other God, rose again. No other God has ever done that except your and my God. He is still alive and well today and knows exactly where we are and exactly what we need. Folks, you ought to be thankful that you don't serve a dead Savior. He's alive and well. Luke 22 and verse 15. We'll start there this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, once again, for just an opportunity to open up your word. Thank you for the song service today. No doubt, Lord, you have met with us already. I ask you, God, to be with Junior Church and the nursery workers today and the kids. God, just send, give each and every one of them a blessing, God, that they don't deserve, but Lord, you will see fit to give to them. God, thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, to just bind the devil off this place in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, let your people hear from you this morning. We don't want to hear anything else. We want to hear from heaven this morning as we go into this study. God, help us, Lord, to just learn something and glean, Lord, and understand the importance of your blood and your body, Lord, that we're going to briefly touch on this morning. God, I thank you so much for what you did so willingly, God, to such an undeserving people as we are. We're just sinners in need of a Savior. Some of us have him, and Lord, maybe there's someone here today that don't know you. Well, God, I can't convict, but your Holy Spirit sure can. And I pray, God, if that's the case today, that you'll do just that. Now, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit this morning. Lord, touch the minds and hearts of your people. Allow everything that's said honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse number 15. The Bible says, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I... What, church? Now that caught my eyes. You know, sometimes you read the Bible and you can read, but all of a sudden you read something and it kind of jumps up and grabs you. You know what I'm saying? Well, this kind of jumped off the page and caught my attention. I'll read it again. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you, but it didn't end there, did it? He said, before I what? Wow. Verse 16 says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Can I say something? That there's still enough of blood out there to go around. To me, this means something. Divide it among yourselves. Jesus was offering his body and his blood to his disciples right here and there. And listen, folks, today if you're lost, Jesus said, hey, take this. But here's the deal. I can come down to you, Kyler, and I can say, take this. But what does Kyler have on his mind now? He has a decision to make, doesn't he? Kyler don't have to take it, but he could take it. And I'm not charging him anything. I just want to offer it to him. You know what Jesus said? Hey, this is my body. This do in remembrance of me. Take this. Pretty quick he said, this is my blood. Take this. Hey church, listen. Those of you who have already taken this, congratulations. But there's plenty of us or plenty of those around that Jesus is offering the hand of take this. And they haven't taken it yet. And it's very important to you this morning, if you're in that position where you have not taken a free gift that Jesus Christ has offered you, I can't convict you, but God can. And that's my prayer this morning, that you'll take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, verse 18, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in what, church? Remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for who? Can I say you are part of that you this morning? Every single one of you are involved there. Verse 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. That verse has always bothered me. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. But that verse has often bothered me when Jesus said, paraphrasing, hey, the betrayer's at hand. His hands are literally on the table. I can only imagine us as Christians sitting in that room and Jesus saying, the betrayer is at hand. Yes, the betrayer knows who he is. Yes, Jesus knew who he was. No one else knew. And the disciples started to inquire amongst themselves, is it me? Is it you? Could you imagine? Put yourself in the position that day. What would your response be if you were at that table? And here's the deal. Why did those disciples have that mindset? You know how often Jesus went to his disciples and said, oh, ye of little what? Faith. They come to him and said, Lord, we've tried healing. We've tried doing this. And he said, well, you have not because you ask not, you know, but you don't believe. How often did Jesus constantly have to pretty much bash those guys and say, you are just a faithless and perverse generation. And they walked physically with Jesus 3.5 years up until this point. 3.5 years. Jesus single-handedly chose them out of the crowd. Is it weird to think that Jesus chose his betrayer? You know what that tells me? If Jesus chose to spend 3.5 years with a guy that was just going to betray him, let me tell you something. There's nothing you or I could ever do for Jesus not to choose you. He's offered his love. He's offered his body. He's offered his blood to each and every one of us. I'm thankful that I serve a whosoever shall God this morning. I'm thankful that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. I'm thankful for a whosoever God. But look in verse 15. I told you this kind of jumped off the page to me. It says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus here showed a desire to be with his disciples before he suffered. Jesus knew the turmoil and strife and the agony he was about to face. Everybody know that Jesus was not surprised by this. He knew it was going to happen. He knew exactly what they were going to do. You say, how would he know? Because he was God. It was all part of his initial plan. Everybody okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Listen, they all know. He knew what he was about to partake of. He knew he was about to suffer beyond measure. He knew that in just a few hours, his body would be so beaten and mangled that it would not even look human-like anymore. It would be almost as if he were a worm. He knew that he was about to do that. Listen, he was about to face it all. And knowing all of this, he still chose, and not just chose, the Bible says he desired to be with those that he loved. You think about this. How often we get in a time of suffering and we desire nothing more than to just be left alone. You know what I'm talking about. We have what we might call, I was talking with Brother Suter and he was telling us about his wife and his daughter, and when they passed away, and for 3 days, the devil was sending him thoughts, and he just wanted to be alone, and he thought about suicide, and he thought about many, many things that he knew were not godlike, and he said, God, if you could just give me something and help me get out of this, what am I doing wrong? And he said the two words from the Holy Spirit, as plain as day, came to him, pity party. You say, how could God send those two words to a man who had just lost his wife and his daughter? Because God was not surprised. It wasn't going to be easy. It was never designed to be easy. Listen, folks, Jesus in the garden prayed and sweat great drops of blood because of the anxiety that took over. But can I say the anxiety did not dictate his will? You know what he did with that? He took it to God. He took it straight to God. And Brother Suter went on to say, pity party, how could God say something like that? Listen, anytime you're down, you're out, you don't feel good, you feel like, oh, I just don't want to be around nobody, I'm suffering. Listen, it's nothing more than a pity party. We as Christians are not naturally wired like that. Nothing of the Holy Ghost gives us that pity party fuel. You know what he gives us? Love. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. Long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The Bible says against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But here's ours: anger, bitterness, malice, wrath, envy, sadness, no joy, heartache, pain, gossip, suffering, fussing, bickering. Hey, what are we doing? God, if you really loved me, hey, he did love you. Listen to what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. He loved his disciples so much. He'd been with these guys 3.5 years, and he was about to partake of the most gruesome death that any human being, and by the way, he was just as much human as he was God, and he was just as much God as he was human. He felt it. It wasn't like he was invisible and the nails just slipped through invisible. No, he was a human being partaking of death for you. He took all your sin upon himself. He became sin for you. By the way, he knew no sin. Y'all know that? 33.5 years, not once did he ever sin. But why did he desire? Well, think about how we are. We just want to be alone, and we want to fret, and we want to worry, and we want to live in self-pity. Let me ask you this. How do you really feel living in your self-pity party? How do you really feel when you wake up and people say, hey, how you doing today? Well, I don't know. How do you really feel when your loved ones are reaching out to you and you, no, I just don't feel like visiting today. No, I just don't feel like going out today. No, I just don't feel like going to church. No, I just don't feel like doing that. How do you really feel in your heart? That's got to be miserable to live like that. Jesus Christ never desired you or wired you to live like that. He never desired for you to have those thoughts. He never desired for you to live in worry. He never desired for you to live in pain. He never desired for you to fret and worry and fear to the point of literally thinking about, I would be rather be dead. Who would think like that? Many of you sitting right here have probably thought like that. You've been there. But let me ask you this. How do you really feel when you can see your loved ones around you? It gets to the point when they are around you, they just come over because they feel like they kind of have to at this point, but they really don't want to be around you because you're just negative all the time. Hey, the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, not be sad in it. God did not say that. He said, I will be glad in it. Folks, listen. Nobody's ever lived a life without bad things happening. And none of us are ever, more than likely this week, something's going to happen in our lives where we're going to fret, we're going to worry, we're going to fear, we're going to be mad, we're going to be angry, and we're just going to call the quits. Folks, listen. Who's behind all that? The devil's behind all that. The devil would love nothing more than for you to quit, Grandma. Grandpa, Dad, Mom, Son, Daughter. You know what? If he can get you to quit, Dad, Mom's going to follow you. Because quitting's easy. It's one of the easiest things you could ever do. Amen? Pretty simple. But you know what ain't easy? Watching the results of failure. The results of you quitting might cause generations of your family to know not God. Jesus desired to spend time with you. He desired to spend time with his disciples. Oh, if we just had the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ, if we had the same desire to be with Jesus, the same as he desires to be with us, folks, wouldn't that be good? Instead of wanting to worry and fret and fear and think all is lost, nothing's good, everything's bad, woe is me, pity party. Listen, I hate hearing that from people. I understand bad things happen, and if you have prayer requests, you share that with them, but listen, don't ever leave someone's presence without making their day better, if you can help it. I know things get rough, but you know what I like? I like ladies and men that when times are tough, they'll just find a way to praise the Lord. Because listen, that's what God wants. He doesn't just want your praise when your bank account's full. He doesn't just want your praise when your family's doing good. He doesn't just want your praise when you're receiving the blessings. Hey, he wants the praise when you're struggling a little bit and you see another family get the blessing. Hey, thank God I was able to be a part of that prayer. Hey, there's been many times in my life where people have helped me and my family, and I thank God for it. And there's been many times where God has allowed me to help other people. And I'll tell you something. The Bible is very clear. As thankful as I am for people that have helped me, I love when God gives me the ability to help someone else. I look for that. You should look for that. You should desire that opportunity. The Bible teaches it is more blessed to give than to what? Receiving's fun, but listen, I love giving and helping other people. And it don't always have to be money. You know what I'm talking about? You know how much it means to just show up and sit down and spend a little bit of time with someone? I'm talking about, hey, call them, let them know, hey, I am praying for you. I loved it this week. I received messages throughout the week. It was good. A lot of people must have been listening on Wednesday night. It was good. People are practicing. Hey, praying for their church members, being thankful. How many told someone this week you were thankful for? Look, I received probably 5 or 6 messages from church members this week saying, Brother Drew, I'm thankful for you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Hey, that lifts me up higher than you could ever imagine. I'm your pastor, but let me tell you something. I struggle just like you do. And I need to stay in the fight just like you do. I need to stay on the train just like you do. And you know what helps me stay on the train? Prayer. Interceding on my behalf. Hey, you have no idea what it does when you say thank you. I'm not expecting that, but look, it helps me. It lets me know that what God is doing, not a waste of time. I love that. I love that we get reports of you guys edifying each other. Folks, that's what will make you go a long way in this Christian life. But you got to desire Jesus. It's amazing to me just how much Jesus really does love you and I. Isn't that amazing this morning? Luke 22:19, not only did Jesus desire to be with his disciples before he suffered. What an amazing God we serve in and of itself. But Luke 22:19, the Bible says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, here it is, this is my what, church? Which is given for who? You. Hey, there again. You are part of that you. Amen. This do in remembrance of me. I wonder how long it's been since we just remembered the broken and battered body of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we were to go around the room today, we're not going to do it because we don't have time for that. But if we were to say, hey, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, when's the last time you really thought about what Jesus did for you? I wonder how far in your memory bank you'd have to think back. Or I wonder if you'd be like, hey, I was just praising the Lord for that recently. I'm so thankful that God chose to give us his only begotten Son. And above that, I'm thankful that Jesus chose to submit to the will of the Father. Hey, how many of you could say, I remember the last time I was thankful for that? It's important. Remember the fact that the reason it was broken and battered was because of our sins. That always has amazed me. Because I can't sit here and tell you that I'd be like the kind of person that would want to suffer because of something you did. Yeah, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, nobody likes to suffer, especially for somebody else. But Jesus took on all the sins of mankind. You wonder why it was so gruesome and so bad? And so, I mean, we look back and you're like, why would he do that? It was so bad. Just put your sin upon him. Think about how bad that must have been. But now take your sin and multiply it with your wife's sin and all your children and your grandchildren and your aunts and your uncles and your church and your community and your state and your country and your world. And all that sin was taken all at once, by the way. He died unto sin how many times? So where's this idea of I got to get saved more than once come from? I'm going to give you two words. The devil. That's a lie. You cannot lose what you did nothing to gain. He paid it all for you. All you had to do was believe. You cannot lose your salvation. That is false doctrine. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that you can lose that. Because he died unto sin what? Hey, listen, if you could lose your salvation, he'd have died, he'd have been buried, he'd have rose again, he'd have came back to earth, lived another 33 and a half years, died, got buried, rose. You see what I'm talking about here? Why? Because his sacrifice wouldn't have been enough. For you to believe that you can lose your salvation, you might as well say, hey, Jesus' sacrifice was not enough to cover my sin. Here's the deal. You were not even a thought when he died. So if Jesus died for your sins, it must have been future sins too. Y'all all right? That's a fact. Don't believe the false doctrine. Your sin has been paid for. Amen. Remember the fact that the reason it was broken was because of your sins. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, a holy life, a pure life, a life with never a bad thought, and yet still chose to give his body as a sacrifice for you and I. It would be good for you and I to remember this, not only on the time or occasion such as communion. Listen, by the way, we're going to do communion on Easter morning. So don't miss that, okay? We'll be taking a communion on Easter morning. But look, that shouldn't be the only time when we take some juice in a cup and some bread and we remember. That should not be the only time that you remember what Jesus has done for you. You want to know how to live a better life, how to sin less and less, and how to want to do more and more for God. Remember who you're doing it for. Stop thinking it's about you. It's nothing to do with you. It's all to do with him. All to do with him. We sing the song, all to Jesus I. But we say, all to preacher, all to brother so-and-so. No, no, no. That's why it never lasts for you. When you really say, and all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Folks, listen. If you start making what you do about him and stop wondering what I'm going to think about you, what brother so-and-so is going to think about you, what sister so-and-so is going to think about you, stop expecting something. Look, great expectations always results in low gratefulness. I'll say it again. Great expectations always results in what? Low gratefulness. Look, you can expect anything and everything from these people here. But let me tell you something. They're flesh, and flesh always fails. But God. Hey, you know what we're doing? We're laying up ourselves treasures in heaven. Folks, when you get there, and you stop worrying, listen, stop worrying about what we think about you here. Do it for the Lord. If no one ever says thank you, don't worry about it. God saw it. He marked it in heaven. And when you get there, your reward will be great. And you will be so thankful. And you'll look back and you'll say, hey, I remember the time the preacher said, stop worrying about what people thought. I'm so glad at this age that I decided everything I do from here on out is for God. It doesn't matter what people think about me anymore. If God said do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to do it for fame or glory or reward. I'm going to do it because I'm laying up myself treasures in heaven. I'm going to do it because Jesus did something for me that I did not deserve. I'm going to do it because He loves me. I'm going to do it for Him. Start thinking about the body more often. Start thinking about Jesus and what He did for you. Remember that we have a purpose as Christians, and remember that it is an honor to be called a soldier of Jesus Christ. It is an honor to stand before you today and even have the opportunity to preach to you. I don't like it when I hear preachers say, I have to preach tomorrow. No, you don't. You get to. It's an honor to get to open God's Word and share what God has given me with the church that He's given us. It's an honor. And I never want to take that for granted. I never thought I'd be in this position, but I'm thankful God allowed me to be. And I never want to take that for granted. And then the only way I'm going to make it is keep on serving Him. Keep on doing right by Him. Keep pressing on. Luke 22 and verse 20. The Bible says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Folks, listen. It's good to remember that Jesus has such a desire to be with you. It's good to remember the body, but look, listen to me. I think it would be a really good thing if Christians remembered the blood of Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? And if we remember the importance of the blood and what it means to us, Matthew 26, 28 says, for this my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Exodus 12, 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. I love this story. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We must remember that without the blood, we are absolutely helpless. And not only that, but we are hopeless. Hey, I'm thankful that I don't live in a hopeless generation. I'm thankful that I have hope in Christ this morning. I'm thankful that God, when He looks over me, that if the rapture were to happen today, you know what He's going to see? He's going to see the blood, and He's going to pass right over. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to be carried away with Him. I'm not going to be left behind. Why? Because He's going to see the blood. I'm thankful that if I die before the rapture, hey, you know what He's going to see? Hey, I see the blood. You must be one of mine. Come on in. Hey, if I get a well done, thou good and faithful servant, good. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have the blood this morning. And because of that, I have had and will have and am always going to have remission for my sins. Folks, that's something to be thankful for. Luke 22, 21. Yes, it's good to see Jesus' desire for us. It's good to remember the body. And it's good to remember the blood. But folks, look at this. In Luke 22, 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me. What does the Bible say? On the table. We see in verse 21 the reality that someone so close to Jesus was about to betray him, and he knew it. I can only imagine how our Savior felt that day. Because I believe this, Jesus loved Judas. Y'all all right with that? He loved him. He gave him the same gifts that He gave everyone else. He loved him. And to sit at the table with a man that's called your disciple. And know that for just a little bit of money, he's going to betray him. Why did Jesus still have that desire to sit there with him? You know, Judas was still one of the disciples at this moment. That desire did not exclude Judas. Y'all all right? What I'm getting at this morning is that desire does not exclude you. That desire that Jesus had to sit at the table with the man that was going to betray him is the same desire Jesus has to be with you. The body that was broken and battered and that we should remember was broken for you. The blood that was shed for the remission of sins was shed for your sins. I wonder how Jesus felt that day, knowing that he had invested time and treasures and love, had invested everything into the life of Judas, all for him to betray him over just a little money. I can only imagine the heartbreak that Jesus must have felt. I put myself in a position as a dad. How many dads we got in here? Let's make it a little personal. I like it when we can make it personal because this will mean something to you. Now listen, I put myself in a position as a dad. Now this will never relate to Jesus, don't get me wrong, but this is the strongest analogy I could think of. And I think about how I feel sometimes when one of my own children do something that they know I would 100% not like. We just feel betrayed. You know what I'm talking about. You tell them, hey, don't do that. And it might be, hey, I heard you were doing this. And what they'll say is, nah, Dad, not me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been there. And you know, God gives you that discerning spirit. You know they're lying to you. But as a dad, for me, it ain't good enough to just know they're lying sometimes. What you want is for them to admit it. Not because you want to hurt them, but how betrayed do you feel as a dad or a mom when one of those babies or someone you love just absolutely lies to you? It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? You feel low. I've spent many nights in tears over my children asking God, what is it that I could do different? You know what God always says? Don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, you know what he reminds me of, Miss Janet? He reminds me how he was betrayed. And Jesus was no quitter. And if I'm supposed to be like him, hey, I might as well just go on. I like that song, I think I'll just go with God. Hey, listen, life is a journey. Twists and turns along the way. We have no idea what's going to be happening tonight. We say we got church tonight at 6 o'clock. But, you know, tragedy could strike in any of our lives between now and 6 o'clock tonight. Everybody know that? Anything could happen. You could be calling and saying, preacher, you're not going to believe it. I could be calling you and saying, you ain't going to believe this. I don't know. But I know this. God is always good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen? Miss Barb's going to come to the piano this morning. I just want you to think about that this morning. How Jesus must have felt as he was betrayed. She's going to start playing a song and just listen up. I'm almost done. We'll have an invitation and we'll get out of here. But I try to put myself in that position and think how betrayed I would have felt. And can I say this morning, friend, that's an awful feeling when you know. That's an awful feeling when you're betrayed, especially by someone that you love and trust. What an awful feeling it must have been to know that he was about to die for not only the betrayer, but for each and every one of us who have lived a life full of sin and regret. But God loved us so much that he still chose to let Jesus die for us. What an awesome God we serve. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Listen.